Selena Gomez.
And how old are you, Selena?
I am 11 years old.
When the crowd wants more, I bring on the thunder. 'Cause you got my back and I'm not going under.
Are y'all ready this morning? I hope you caught the statistics in that video, because that's my way of convincing you that this message matters, that it's important, that it's relevant to you and your family. It's a message that every parent, every grandparent, every teacher, every mentor, anyone else who has a voice in the life of a tween needs to hear. Disney, the Disney Channel that is a global entertainment juggernaut. It's available on basic cable in 99 million U.S. homes, with a global audience of over 600 million unique viewers. Amusingly, in 2002, a Utah newspaper reported that the future of Radio Disney was iffy at best. Today, there are terrestrial stations in 35 national markets, as well as availability on Sirius and XM satellite radio, not to mention the ever-present RadioDisney.com. Radio Disney garners 29 million listeners weekly, if you include the moms who are in the minivans, too. Now, I want you to meet one of the most powerful women in the world. Her name is Ann Sweeney, and she's the president of the ABC Disney Television Group. Did you know that Disney Channel, under Sweeney's leadership, pioneered the practice of offering both broadcast and cable programming for download on Apple's iPods? Did you know that? She is credited with leading the tween revolution that turned Hannah Montana and High School Musical into multi-billion dollar international franchises. And she continues to maintain Disney's place as the unquestioned market leader in programming for tweens, and tweens are kids ages 9 to 14. Now, how is she doing it? Well, she's doing it by embracing the technologies that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. Look at this quote. She says the strategic utilization of new technologies to meet consumer needs is of paramount importance to the growth of the Disney Media Networks group. Sweeney intends to make Disney ubiquitous, to make sure that it's everywhere. And indeed, it already is. Disney's on your TV, on your computer, on your phone, on your iPhone, on your iPod, on your iPad, on your iToaster, on anything that's connected to the internet, you can get Disney content. And that's why we need to talk about it this morning, my friends. Not because it's all bad. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression this morning. I'm not saying that everything on Disney is bad, that everything that Disney produces is bad. I'm not forbidding you from going to Disney World on your vacation. We need to talk about it this morning, not because it's all bad, but because it is everywhere, and because it is enormously popular among our kids. Amen? I'm not on an anti-Disney crusade this morning. I don't intend to be dogmatic or to make sweeping generalizations. I'm going to try not to. You know, one of the teens here at our church a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this message, and she said, "Pastor Jeff, are you going to ruin Disney for me?" Well, that's not my goal, but I do want to make sure we all know in what way and to what extent Disney affects our culture. Amen? I'm talking to you this morning as one parent of a tween to another. A short time ago, I had Amber, my 13-year-old daughter, and by the way, I got to give props to Amber because she helped me out big time doing the research for this message. She was a big help, all right? Amen. So I had Amber in the Suburban with a few of her 13 and 14-year-old friends, and we were headed home from her birthday party, and I flipped on Radio Disney, and every girl in the vehicle knew every word to every song. When my 7-year-old son and my 10-year-old daughter are in the Suburban with me, and I flip on Radio Disney, they know every word to every song. And that's no accident. This is Kelly Edwards, and she is the director of programming for Radio Disney. And look what she said. "We don't play anything that would raise questions a mother or father driving their 10-year-old to school would feel uncomfortable answering." Now, we're going to dig further into that topic in just a minute, but my point now is that the target audience for all of this Disney programming is my 10-year-old daughter. It's your 10-year-old son. In fact, to keep you engaged this morning, just so that you don't fall asleep, now, sometimes when preachers do this and I'm sitting where you're sitting, I get a little annoyed, so I understand, but just play ball with me, give me some grace, all right? Every time I say, "Who's the target audience?" I want you to respond with, "My 10-year-old daughter." You say, Pastor Jeff, I don't have a 10-year-old daughter. That's okay. I do. We're all the family of God. You can borrow mine. Okay? All right. So let's practice. Who's the target audience?
10-year-old.
Very good. So what's the secret to the Disney effect? Why its tremendous popularity? Well, I'm no sociologist, but I have a theory. And as Pastor Wayne said in the first message in this series, I believe that I'm right. There's a particular theme heavily represented in the Disney product that I think appeals to today's younger generation very specifically. And I'll explain why in just a moment, but first I have a little clip that I think sums it up quite nicely. Now, the message in this clip is a bit subtle, so I've put some of the lyrics in there just to kind of help you out, okay? So watch closely. Did you get it? I know it was subtle. Now, I know it's normal for kids to exhibit some level of narcissism. Watch me, Dad! It's a common refrain at my house, usually followed by a really big bang. But there's something else that we need to consider here. This generation is growing up amidst the explosion of three historic cultural phenomena. They are reality television, mobile computing, and social networking. And these factors contribute to a culture where anyone can be a rock star, and everyone is a legend in their own mind. That's why I'm dressed the way I am this morning. You can even publish your own tabloid right there on Facebook, can't you? The effect is so pronounced and so pervasive that Time magazine labeled this generation the me, me, me generation. And that's the first Disney effect I want to share with you this morning. I call it the narcissism effect. It's the effect on self-image. Now, I'm all for encouraging young people. I'm all for building them up and not tearing them down. Amen? But we need to think very hard about this hyper-individualistic, you're number one, you can do anything message that's being preached to our kids. Who's the target audience? That's right. Yeah, I saw you dancing. Positive, encouraging, Radio Disney, K-Love, Isn't it odd how similar those stations sound these days? They even play Brit Nicole's You're Worth More Than Gold on Radio Disney. Did you know that? Now, in case you think I'm nitpicking a little bit this morning, I'm not the only one who's concerned about this. Renowned psychologists Gene Twenge and Keith Campbell write in their book, The Narcissism Epidemic, understanding the narcissism epidemic is important because its long-term consequences are destructive to society. American culture's focus on self-admiration has caused a flight from reality to the land of grandiose fantasy. They go on to say, we have phony celebrities via reality TV and YouTube, phony genius students with grade inflation, phony feelings of being special among children because parents and education are focused on self-esteem, and we even have phony friends on Facebook. Now, all of this fantasy might feel good, but unfortunately, reality always wins. You see, this message sounds great. Now, come on, Jeff, that's a great song. That's a great message. You don't get it. No, I do get it. What we have to remember is that there's no God in the Disney universe. You have every right to a beautiful life? Really? Who said that? Who says you're not perfect? Well, I'm glad you asked, Selena, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says there is no one who does good, not even one. And Paul said, I don't mean to say that I have already reached perfection. I have not reached it. God says what I deserve is death and that I'm not perfect. Who says you're not perfect? God does. That's why I need Jesus. Now, I can do all things through Christ, absolutely. But in the Disney worldview, you don't need Jesus. Disney heavily promotes the holy grail of secularism, a sort of godless perfection that's achievable through the triumph of science, goodwill, and the human spirit. And that brings me to the second Disney effect, which I call the worldview effect. Disney's recent Show Some Heart campaign encouraged kids to champion kindness and generosity of spirit toward others. Now, that's a good thing, but we as believers know why it's a good thing, right? Because Jesus is the one who gave us the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus is also the one who said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He's the one who told us that we would have trouble in life, but that we could be encouraged because He overcame the world. Are you all with me this morning? But in Disney's worldview, you don't need Jesus, because you got nothing to worry about.
You ain't gotta worry about a thing. It'll be all right, and it'll be all right. You ain't gotta worry. Everything will be all right if you keep me next to you. I'm leaving on a night. We all know better when there ain't no drama and the party's never enough. And everything is all right.
Whatever doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. So I'ma get stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
We're on a planet where there is no drama and the party never ends. What planet is that? And how do I get there? Because it's not this one, right? There are a couple of interesting ideas in those clips that I just showed you. The first one is the idea called pluralism. Everything's going to be all right if we just love each other, if we just accept everybody, if we just all coexist, if we accept all different worldviews as equally valid and true, then everything's going to be all right. The other worldview we see is sort of a mixture between humanism and moral relativism. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Now you say, no, wait a minute, Jeff, why are you picking on that? That's saying that how you respond to bad circumstances is important because it helps you overcome the troubles of life. Don't you believe in being an overcomer? Well, sure I do. In Christ. Hello? In Christ. Remember the little wing song that I played a little bit earlier? Maybe what this is saying is that I can overcome anything. Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger because I'm me and I'm awesome. Now you can make the distinction as an adult, but who's the target audience? So whose job is it to make sure that she comes to the right conclusion? Exactly. Lamentations 3 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. My friends, everything will be all right if I trust in the Lord. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you say I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. My friends, there are some things that may not kill you, but they will not make you stronger. These are the conversations that we need to have with our kids. Because if we don't disciple our kids, Disney will. And that's a great lead into my next point. I want to remind you of what Miss Edwards said. Remember that we know that Disney intentionally sanitizes its content for consumption by its target audience. And who's the target audience? Now, as parents, our general perception is that everything on the Disney Channel and on Radio Disney is juvenile, and it's lighthearted, it's cleaned up. And for the most part, at least at a superficial level, that's true. Disney intentionally tailors its programming to avoid raising any questions. And therein lies the problem. And that brings me to the next Disney effect, which I call the parenting effect. You see, we tech-savvy parents can easily get complacent, can't we? We set the content restrictions on their iPods and on their iPhones, and by the way, you should do that. And if you don't know how, sign up for the seminar so you can learn. Amen? And even though somewhere in the back of our minds we know that it's probably not 100% true, out of laziness or exhaustion or just sheer complacency, we either consciously or unconsciously think, you know, it's a Disney thing. How bad can it possibly be? Well, there's one very important thing that you need to know. Miss Edwards says, if there's a song we think would fit for us, but it has something inappropriate for our audience, very often the artist and the label will either give us a clean edit that removes that part, or rewrite the lyrics and re-record it for us. Now, we're not just talking about Disney sensations like Zendaya or Selena Gomez or Ross Lynch. We are talking about mainstream adult-oriented artists like Avril Lavigne, Maroon 5, will.i.am, Cher Lloyd, Justin Timberlake, and Bruno Mars. These artists and many others have provided edited versions of their songs that are suitable for Radio Disney airplay. Now, why in the world would they do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ms. Edwards says, artists want to be a part of what we're doing. They see the importance of reaching our audience. They come in for interviews, they do our countdown, they talk on the phone to our listeners. Well, of course they see the importance of reaching the Disney audience. Who's the target audience? So why wait to get a fan when they're 16 when you can get them at age 10? Amen? Here's the point. What you hear is not always what you get. The Radio Disney edit of a song is rarely, if ever, available for download via iTunes or any other music service, and you certainly can't buy it on CD. Now, iTunes will label songs as either clean or explicit, but sometimes even the clean version of a song is not as clean as what you just heard on Radio Disney. So let me give you just a few examples. Some are trivial, like this one.
I got my ticket for the long way round, two bottle kind of far away, and I sure
Now, if you've seen Pitch Perfect, you know that what she actually says there is two bottles of whiskey for the way, right? Now, that seems like a trivial example, but one of the more infamous Radio Disney edits came from this popular boy band. Now, I couldn't manage to get my hands on the Radio Disney version. It's not available anywhere. So I'm going to play the real version for you, and I'm going to highlight the lyric that Radio Disney changed, okay? Are you ready? Pay close attention.
Let's go!
Now, by your reaction, some of you didn't know that that's what the song actually said. Get some what? Exactly. Radio Disney changed the lyric to dumb. Tonight, let's get dumb, which is a dumb substitution that fooled no one. This song certainly appears to be about hooking up with a stranger at an all-night party for a one-night stand, doesn't it? And yet their pictures are plastered all over our kids' walls. Now, the version I just played for you is the only one available from iTunes. There is no other edit. Now, this next song has been getting a lot of airplay on Radio Disney lately. It's called I Choose You by a duo called Time Flies. Now, on Radio Disney, here's what you'll hear.
High heels, real talk, still feels the same. Nails stripped in black, but I never knew her name. Right.
Now, if you download the song on iTunes, here's what you get instead.
High heels, dirty towel, handcuffs and chains. Down my back, but I never knew her name.
Right. I wish you could be standing where I'm standing because your jaws are on the floor. There is no clean version of this song, and it's not marked explicit on iTunes. Your kids can buy it even if you've got the parental control set. Are you still with me? Do I have your attention this morning? Finally, this song has been getting tons of airplay on Radio Disney lately. It's by Avril Lavigne, and it's called Here's to Never Growing Up. Beautiful, isn't she? Now, there are no less than 5 different edits of this song floating around on the internet. The original is marked explicit on iTunes, thank God, and there is a clean version available. But Radio Disney edits the clean version even further, almost to the point where the song is unrecognizable. Now, when this song plays on Radio Disney, here's what you'll hear.
Singing Radiohead at the top of our lungs, with the boombox blaring as we're falling in love. Got a boombox blaring as we're falling in love. Singing here's to never growing up.
Now, if that sounds repetitive, it is. Now, if you buy the clean version on iTunes, are you hearing me? If you buy the clean version on iTunes, here's what you get instead.
Singing Radiohead at the top of our lungs, with the boombox blaring as we're falling in love. Gotta follow whatever, but it's getting us drunk. Singing here's to never growing up.
Even the clean version of this song is pretty despicable. Now, I'm not going to read the lyrics that I just put on the screen. You can see for yourself. The clean version edits out most of the curse words, but not all of them. It's pretty easy to figure out what's supposed to be in there, isn't it? Who's the target audience? So what's the point? The point is, you don't know what's in the song unless you listen to the song. Use the parental controls, please. Watch for the explicit marking on iTunes, absolutely. But you have to know the words because your kids know the words. Now, the important thing that we're trying to do here is not to try to protect our kids from absolutely everything. I'm a realist. I know that that's not possible, okay? I know we can't protect our kids from every bad thing in the world. The goal is to guard them from deception, right? Proverbs 1:17 says, it is useless to spread out a net right where the birds can see it. It is our jobs as parents to show our kids where the net is being spread. Otherwise, we're leaving the door open for deception when they get hooked on the Radio Disney edit of some song, and then they buy the iTunes version, which they think is clean, and it has a very different message. And how are they going to decide what those messages mean? If they don't get the messages from talking to us as parents, they'll get them from Disney, they'll get them from television, they'll get them from the internet, or from their buddies on the school bus. Now, the next Disney effect, and perhaps most critical that I want to talk to you about, I call the romance effect. Nearly every Disney Channel show deals extensively with the subject of teen romance. Popular songs on Radio Disney are filled with love and infatuation, and to some degree, even sexual innuendo, as we've discussed already. Now, I want to point out to you something that David Perkins said in his article, Disciples of Disney, that he wrote for Ministry Today magazine. He shares what he contends are three lies that Disney tells tweens and teens about romantic love. Here they are. Number one, teens are worthy of worship by someone of the opposite sex. Number two, teens are mature enough for romance. And number three, everyone lives happily ever after. Now, those themes really are present on the Disney Channel and Radio Disney. And this little montage that I'm going to show you gives just a taste of Disney Channel romance. Watch this.
Last summer we met, we started as friends. I can't tell you how it all happened.
We're getting older and we're going to need to learn how to navigate these new dating dynamics when it comes to our best friendship. I know, it's hard for me to hang out with you and a guy that I can't stand. I know, tomorrow night, Logan and I were supposed to have a first dinner date, so maybe we could turn into a double date, and you can bring someone.
I wish you knew. I think about you.
He's this really cute guy from school. He's so cool. Way too cool to ask me out.
All we are is just a moment.
Wow, that's interesting. Is there anything you'd like to talk about?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
No. What do you do when you're with a boy and it ends and you don't know how it went or how he feels or where you stand?
I think about you.
You're awesome. You want to be my girlfriend?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Cool.
Now, I must admit, that song gets me right here. Why are you laughing? I'm being serious. I'm a soft-hearted guy. I am in touch with my emotions. I mean, I cried it up. I did. I love that song. I think about you. I think it's a great song for a wedding, for people who are old enough to be in a position to make the kind of commitment that goes along with thinking about somebody every minute of every day. Who's the target audience? Do you want your 10-year-old daughter thinking about some boy every minute of every day? Do you want some boy thinking about your daughter every minute of every day? I didn't think so. Pastor Wayne has already covered the research that shows the impact of kids being exposed to romance earlier in life, which leads to earlier onset of dating, which leads to earlier onset of sexual experimentation. The Bible tells us that's exactly what we should expect. In Song of Solomon 8:4, it says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires, or until the time is right." My friends, the Bible does not play games with the power of romantic love. It says don't even wake it up until the time is right. Well, when's the right time? Not when you're 10. But Disney Channel presents a world where teens and tweens are mature enough for romance. Remember this little girl that I showed you in that little video clip just a minute ago? She's from a show called Dog with a Blog, and I don't even have time to explain what that's all about. But her name is Avery in the show, and she's a sixth grader, and the episode that you saw little bits of in that video was called Avery's First Crush. Now I want to show you another clip from that episode that shows how Avery's parents dealt with Avery's first crush.
I don't know why she won't trust me.
Honey, you're going overboard on this Dustin thing. It's a schoolgirl crush. Let's just give Avery some space on this.
She's my little baby, Bennett. I don't care how many times she called me that prying snoop in her diary. 42 was very hurtful.
I'm sorry to be the lecturer here, but if you don't want your feelings hurt, you probably shouldn't be poking around in other people's private business.
You're right.
Now, I'm well aware that this episode is intended to take a comical, lighthearted, fun approach to these issues that every young person and every family eventually faces. And to be honest, it does that very well. I'm not saying that that's all bad. But realize that if a child watches this episode alone with no discussion with a parent, then that child just heard these TV parents say that her first excursions into romantic waters are none of the parents' business. And is that true? Song of Solomon, chapter 8 again. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy as unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. My friends, the Bible does not trifle with romantic love. It is not a game. It is not a joke. Look at the terms that it uses, death and the grave and a blazing fire. If you play with fire, what happens? You get burned. Going back to Mr. Perkins, remember that he said that Disney gives the impression that teens are mature enough for romance. And we've dealt with that a little bit already. He also said that Disney gives the impression that everyone lives happily ever after. Remember that all this programming is sanitized for the target audience, right? And who's the target audience? Now, none of these shows ever deal with the temptations, the struggles, the emotional damage, the life-altering mistakes that can be made when you play around with romantic love. They don't deal with any of those things, at least not in a serious way. Now, you might think, well, that's good, because Jeff, there's enough sex on television. Well, amen. But if the only education your kids are getting on relationships with the opposite sex is coming from Disney Channel, what impression are they getting about what dating is all about? Where does it go? How does it end? How do they deal with the things that happen as their minds and their bodies start to change? If you don't teach them, Disney will. I want to wrap up this particular Disney effect, the romantic effect, by touching on Perkins' third point. Disney says that teens are worthy of worship by someone of the opposite sex. And to do that, I want to get back to Radio Disney for a moment. A couple of years ago, I laughed with the young people as we listened to a song by this little guy. His name was Cody Simpson. He was 14 years old at the time. And he sang that incredibly annoying I, yi, 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 yi song. Remember that? Every minute, every second of the day, I hated that song. Well, Cody's all grown up now. Check him out performing live at the Radio Disney Music Awards.
2:15 in the morning, and I'm still thinking about you, baby. So frequently yearning, but I'm still thinking about you, baby. Heaven up above did so well on every bit of you, baby. I think that I'm in love with every single bit of you, baby. Felt so right, it just couldn't be wrong. Love at first sight, if that exists at all. I couldn't more, felt like I was stuck. Then baby girl looked up. And I said, baby, pretty brown eyes. What you doing? Later tonight. You mind if I spend time with you?
He's so dreamy. Did you see the girls on stage? Who's worshiping who here, right? You remember these guys, these pastor's kids? Speaking of worship, remember these pastor's kids? You might not have recognized them if I hadn't put their name up there. The Jonas Brothers are all grown up now. They have a new song called Pom Poms that plays unedited on Radio Disney. Now, I found the video, and I could not believe my eyes. Now, I wish I could show you enough of it to sufficiently shock you, but I can't, all right? So I'm going to show you what I can show you, and I'll describe the rest. Watch very closely.
You would say yeah, yeah, every time, baby.
Preacher's kids. Did you see the choir? Did you see the pastor and his wife dancing? Did you hear them shout, glory? Did you hear them compare their obsession with that cheerleader with revival and worship falling to their knees? You know why I put up the album cover for most of that video? Because those are the parts where the mostly naked young women are dancing provocatively in the stands of the football stadium. You know what I'm thinking right now? I wish I could tell you what I'm actually thinking, other than this song totally makes me angry. I'm thinking, blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. It would be wise for the Joe Bros not to mock the church they grew up in. And it would be wise for us not to sit in their company. I want to introduce you to one more popular artist on Radio Disney. His name is Bruno Mars. And I want you to listen to the religious overtones in this song as he sings about a woman that he cannot live without. Did you hear it? Religion, salvation, prayer, sacrifice. Do you see a pattern developing here? Mr. Perkins was right, wasn't he? Now, lest you think it's only the male artists that are into this sort of thing, let me give you a quick sample here from Demi Lovato. While I was preparing this message, I asked my daughter Amber, what's good on Disney Channel these days? And she said, nothing. Disney Channel used to be great, and then Demi went to rehab. So here's Demi, fresh out of rehab. Just for you.
Like you, make me wanna act like a girl. Paint my nails and wear perfume for you. Make me so nervous that I just can't hold your head. You make me glow. But a cover up won't let it show.
Apparently love makes you do crazy things. Like act like a girl. Recently, my 10-year-old daughter announced that this is her favorite song. So we're in this together, right? You see, we're just talking about this together as parents. Are you all with me? I have one more Disney effect that I want to close with this morning. We're going to wrap up with this. It's called the cross-promotion effect. You see, just like we talk about certain things being gateways to other things that are even worse, have you heard people talk about alcohol can be a gateway drug to other things, right? Disney can be a gateway for young people into a world of very adult entertainment. This list here is just a short list of the artists whose material is played on Radio Disney or who collaborate with other Radio Disney artists on a song. You've probably heard of, you know, Justin Timberlake featuring Nicki Minaj or so-and-so featuring somebody else, right? And there are names on here that you probably recognize as artists that you just really wouldn't let your kids listen to, and yet they play on Radio Disney. You'll hear some songs on Radio Disney, they'll talk about the initials JT, and whenever they say JT, they mean Justin Timberlake. And we all remember what Justin Timberlake is famous for from the Super Bowl a few years ago, right? But sometimes it's not even about getting connected with some other artist who doesn't normally play on Radio Disney. Sometimes it's simply another song available from the same artist. Let me give you one very stark example, and I want you to strap in, because we're going to finish up with this. This is really going to blow your mind. Remember Bruno Mars? He has two songs that play regularly on Radio Disney. It Will Rain and When I Was Your Man. And those play unedited on Radio Disney. But before you let your child go and get the latest Bruno Mars CD or download some of his other stuff, you might want to see what's on it. The song I'm about to play for you does not play on Radio Disney, but his other stuff does. And I want to play a segment of it for you just as a warning. That just because an artist shows up on Radio Disney doesn't mean that all of his stuff is okay. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to all the Christian religious terms that he uses in this song. Are you ready? It's going to feel like this video lasts forever. It's only 60 seconds. All right? Are you ready?
I'm gonna get every time you spend.
In this song called Locked Out of Heaven, Bruno Mars uses just about every religious term that we hold dear. Faith and love and miracles and being born again and paradise and heaven. In the next verse of the song, which I mercifully did not make you listen to, he says, you make me testify. You can make a sinner change his ways. Open up your gates. I want to see the light. All of these things that we hold very dear to our hearts as believers, he connects with his sexual obsession with this woman. Blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. Now, why did I play that for you? Because the Disney effect is about more than Disney. If your kid goes snooping around the internet looking for more cool stuff by Bruno Mars, guess what he's going to find? And that's the cross-promotion effect. And we need to be very wary of it. Because who's the target audience? You get a bonus because I didn't have time to share this in the first service. Cross-promotion effect. My 10-year-old daughter brought home this book from the school book fair. From the Scholastic School Book Fair. Now, my kids go to Pleasant Crossing Elementary, and I'm not throwing the principal, Mr. Magnuson, under the bus. He's a great godly man. I thank God for him. But she brought this book home from the school book fair. It's One Direction, Life as We Know It. And I don't have time to read it to you, but as I saw this book, I started flipping through the pages, and I got to page 26 when Harry started describing, when they were on the X Factor show and all of the contestants were living in the same house, how much he enjoyed going around naked and how liberating it was. Who's the target audience? So I didn't have time to share everything with you this morning. I'm out of time this morning, and we're going to wrap this up. I didn't have time to talk to you about how Miley Cyrus and Vanessa Hudgens and some of the others, Lindsay Lohan, have just crashed and burned in spectacular fashion. I didn't have time to talk about the Disney effect on the child stars themselves. I didn't have time to talk to you about how Billy Ray said, I should have never let Miley get into show business. It's very sad. Didn't have time to talk about Selena Gomez singing, If You're Ready, Come and Get It. So I just gave you just a taste. I just scratched the surface this morning, but I do want to leave you with three action points. Are you ready? This is the last thing I have for you this morning. Three action points. So what? First of all, you need to know the words to every song. You need to know the words to every song because your kids do. Second, you need to watch the shows with your kids, right? Now, some of them are quite funny. Some of them provide an excellent opportunity to just talk about some of the issues of life, but you get to provide the biblical worldview in the godly context because Disney's not going to do that. Say, Jeff, I don't like watching those shows. Who cares what you like? Your kids are watching them. You watch them with them. And finally this. Talk to your kids about the themes dealt with in the songs and the shows. That way, parents, you are shaping your child's worldview. Because if you don't, Disney will. Thank you very much for your attention this morning. I hope it was valuable to you. God bless you.
What kind of church is this? Now, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, you know, Disney is the least of my concerns because my kids are listening to Slipknot or something like that. Well, you're right. That's a different conversation. But the reality is our walk with God affects everything. And sometimes, let me just say a lot of times, too many times, parents, we just kind of say, you know what? We hope our kids serve Jesus. Kind of hope they stick it out with God. And we have no idea this battle that's going on to pull them away. And the enemy doesn't play fair. He starts younger and younger and younger and younger. And the problem is the parents. The problem's us. We're very lazy. We let the kids plug into everything and because everybody else is doing it. And I'm going to tell you, as a parent, the pressure is huge. Why can't I do this when every one of my friends are doing this? Why can't I do this when even other kids at church are doing this? It's a hard conversation. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a hard conversation. So what's the standard? Well, here's the deal. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man, the woman, the teenager, the tweenager, and the child, who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't listen or pay attention to those who are ungodly because the Bible says, or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. To me, the Jonas Brothers are a great illustration of the progression of listening to the counsel of the ungodly, then you identify with the way of sinners, and then pretty soon you're sitting in the seat of those who are mocking the very thing that you grew up in. Do you see how this works? And so I understand that the reality is there are three questions that we're asking throughout this series, three questions that every family should ask. Number one is, do you have limits at your house concerning the quantity of media in your life, in your home? Television, social networking, movies, video games. Is there a limit? Because even the good things can turn into bad things if they dominate your life. That's why we issue the Unplugged Challenge, to go a week without these things in your life. My family did it this week, and we had some amazing revelations. Time slowed down a lot. This last week, both my boys said it was the longest week they've ever had. It was just, but you know what? That's not a bad thing, because the Bible says reverence for the Lord adds hours to each day. There's something about just slowing down. And we had a lot of good things happen as a result of it. And we were all more than happy to plug back in, you know, yesterday. So, but it's a good experience, and continue to encourage you to think about that. So you need to think about limits. And the second thing, the second question we've been asking is, what are the standards at your house? Do you have any standards? And just as Pastor Jeff said, there should be a conversation going on with your kids about right and wrong. What is right and wrong? Okay? And we need to think about what those standards are. And your standards should not be set by your kids' friends. Okay. And here's the third question is, we've been asking you, when it comes to media, is there an open door to the enemy at your house through some form of entertainment? We talked a couple weeks ago about very obvious open doors of wickedness when we did the spiritual inventory. But sometimes we remember that the Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light. Well, that's good. That's not bad. And yet we see that there are other issues coming to bear as a result. So we have to pray. Lord, what are the open doors to the enemy in my life? And do something about them. And so that's the challenge that I want to encourage everyone to do. Now, we have created a resource for everyone called the Family Media Guide. And I would encourage you, if you don't have this yet, to take it with you on your way out, because it's filled with resources and tips and ideas about those three questions at your house. And if you've got some things you'd like to add to it, send me an email. We're continually updating this, because once we're done, we want to have a tool that we can give to every parent, anybody that ever wants one. I have lots of churches asking for this already. I say, I can't send it to you because we're not done with it yet. And I encourage you to take that and be blessed and be encouraged. I want to say before we close here today, thanks to Pastor Jeff, because first of all, we had to have this ongoing conversation this week via email about what we could show in church and what we couldn't, right? Now, of all the messages in this series, you would think that the one about Disney, we wouldn't have to have that conversation. It's amazing, though. I also want you to encourage Pastor Jeff, because just 60 seconds of those montages that he created, I want to encourage you, you're not going to go find those montages on the internet. He made those things. And I leaned over to Tracy, I said, you are looking at hours and hours and hours of time putting those things together. So would you say a big God bless you to Pastor Jeff? Stand with me if you would. Let's pray one more time. Dear God, our prayer today is that you would help us navigate the life, the world, the times that we live in. And God, through it all, we realize that you have set before us a choice, life and death, blessing and cursing. God, help us to choose life. Lord, we know it's not always easy to be different, to choose different things than other people do. But God, we pray that you'd keep our hearts set on you. And remind us that your scripture says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that your plan is not to harm us. Your plan is not to hurt us. Your plan is to give us a hope and a future. Lord, help us to embrace your plan, your heart,
your will. God, we pray for our children. We pray for our teenagers, God. We pray for young adults. We pray for us, God, that your will be done and that you would help us. God, be part of a generation that worships you, that honors you with everything they have. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray for one more group of people today before we leave. Tomorrow morning, we have 82 teenagers from Grace who are going to teen camp in Hartford City. And so if you are one of those teenagers that are going to camp this week, would you raise your hand up just real high? Awesome. We want to pray for these young men and young women, largest group we've ever had going to camp this week. If you're nearby one of those, would you just move closer to them and lay hands on them? And let's agree together for God's grace and God's power and God's strength to minister to them. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that these teenagers have to be part of camp. We pray, Holy Spirit, that your power, your wisdom, your strength would rest upon them. Meet them in a supernatural way. Lord, we know that you have amazing things planned for them. God, we pray that their hearts would be open. We pray their spirits would be awakened. We pray for the speaker. We pray for the worship. We pray for the services, God. Everything that takes place, that there would be an amazing encounter with the God who made them. Lord, we pray that you'd protect them, watch over them. And Lord, we pray that their lives would be vastly different as a result. What happens this week at church camp? We give them to you, God, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I keep adding to the end of this service. Stacy Johnson, come up here real fast. Stacy and his team got back from El Salvador yesterday, and he sent me a text with some results. And why don't you share them real quickly with everybody? Give it up for Dr. Stacy.
Well, we took a team of 28 down to Santa Ana, El Salvador, and we saw 1,425 patients in 4 days. And I have to concede that optical saw more patients than dental, so Mike. But it was, we had a great time. Or any of the team members in, or if you could raise your hands and just acknowledge those guys. And if you have a... Just a lot of sweat and a lot of tears and a lot of elbow grease. A lot of encouragement to the Nationals. We came alongside the missionaries that we were working with, Kenton and Elsie Moody. They just resounded how just all through the year, the parishioners, that the leaders in the church, how they talk about the Indiana team and when are they coming back again. And it was so awesome. We're so encouraged, and they just so look forward to us returning. So if we're going to take a team back, and if opportunity arises and some of you, start filling that piggy bank now, we'd love you to be a part of that process. And we saw several salvations. We were singing the worship song, It's All About You, because sometimes we go into those situations with, I have this expectation. And we saw somewhere around 100 salvations. And, we were each day... When I first started doing missions, I was always, don't bring me a patient unless he's not saved, because, that's what I'm here for. But the encouragement and the upliftment, and just to see, we had several times where patients were coming back into the clinic and they were just with tears running down their face, thanking us for the love that we have for their country, thanking us for coming and serving their needs. And it was just... it was life-changing. So thank you very much for your support. You guys contributed enough money to cover all the meds and the building supplies that we needed to build a home. There was a lot of work that was done. Our construction team, they built one home, and actually a lot of their time was put in putting a roof on the Bible school. There's a Bible school that's being built right now. There's 140 students currently, and there's no better money invested than putting money towards housing those Bible students, because they're the ones that are in there day and night, and it's just a great investment. So thank you very much for your support and your prayers. We had no casualties. Everybody came home safe, and it was a great trip. So thank you once again.
Awesome. Don't forget your small group tonight. Need some guys at 3:00 today to help us out with the human video. God bless you. Have a great day.
Forever, yeah. You are-